I always leave early on Sunday morning to check the PowerPoints and see if there's anything that needs taken care of. So I got here before the rain came. As it got closer and closer to time for us to meet, it started looking worse and worse. Notice the debris in the parking lot and in the front of the building. We were almost underwater. We got really close to having, at least when the cars would float through the water out front, push the water up into our building, but not quite. So we're glad to have you here. We're off a little bit, but I understand that the radio has been announcing that people should stay home and not get out, and TV has been saying that don't go to church this morning, but you came, and I appreciate each one being here. And maybe that is an apropos condition for us to talk about being safe in the arms of Jesus. Not just through a storm of weather, not just through flooding streets, but in life we are safe in the arms of Jesus as nowhere else in all of the world. There's no one outside of Christ that has the assurance that we have that no matter what happens in this life, Jesus is able to take us in His arms and to hold us and to protect us and to care for us and to love us. And with that, we can face any challenge that comes before us. In the last 2 weeks, I've performed 2 funerals. Granny Hardwick's passed away. And it would be easy to be discouraged if it wasn't for a belief that Jesus has already beaten death. He's stronger. And so I want you to stay with me and understand and looking at verse 27 of Deuteronomy chapter 33 out of the King James Version, it reads this way. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Leaning on the everlasting arms. There's a lot of songs about the arms and the strength of God. I suppose, and if you can tell by the title of the song, the one that I thought about is Safe in the Arms of Jesus. I don't know if you sing hymns when you get scared or not. That's all I know, so that's what I sing when I get scared or when things are not going well. When I get depressed, I just don't know anything better to do than to sing. And this is one that I sing often. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on His gentle breast, there by His love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall rest. Now, I don't know what kind of image comes to your mind, but as I see that image in my mind, it's our Lord and our Savior, that He takes us with nail-pierced hands and He holds us in His arms and He cares for us and He loves us and He protects us. So I want to suggest that we're safe in His loving arms. I saw a t-shirt the other day that said, Grandmas give the best hugs. I think it was a mistake. I think it should have been Grandpas give the best hugs. But anyway, this idea that you're there and they're just there to love you. You're not afraid of being punished by the grandparents, and they're there and they'll pick you up when you need to be picked up, and they'll wipe away a tear. And there's just something about being in the arms of someone who loves you when you know that there are no expectations there. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, the record says, He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. When you think about that concept of God is love, and then every time you read a passage in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 13 or any other passage where you read the agape, the love of God, you need to understand that's a description of God. When love is kind and keeps no record of evils, believes all things, hopes all things, that's a description of our God. If you don't know how to love, then you don't know God. People who go around angry and hurtful and hurting others don't know God, for God is love. On down in verse 15 and 16, the thoughts continue and said, We know and have believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Oh, for a faith that's totally wrapped up in the love of God. There's a song that we sing in chapel almost every week. I'm all wrapped up, I'm all tied up, I'm all tangled up in Jesus. The arms of God's love ought to be the security that you feel no matter what the storm outside may be. It may be that there are problems in your family. It may be problems in your finance. It may be problems in your job, in your place of employment. It may be problems in the world that you're worried about. But we don't have to worry ultimately, because we're safe in the arms of Jesus if we're His children and if we're faithful to His dear cause. When we think about the arms of love, we think about love being supportive. We think about love being giving. We think about love caring. Paul said it this way in Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 37. He said, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus." Nothing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. But there is one thing. We can leave the presence of God. God's love doesn't go away. Jesus is always there. But there are those people who in different points in their lives pull away from Jesus, and they're not faithful as they should be. He says that there's not a power on earth that can separate you from God, but you can. There's not a law out there. There's no principalities. There's angels can't keep you away from the love of God, which was manifest in us through Christ Jesus when He died on the cross. It's only when we deny the cross that we leave the love of Jesus. It's only when we fail to see Him for who He is and His sacrifice for what it was. It was His only begotten Son, and there's no greater love in all the world, John 3:16, than God has shown through His Son. But you know, as important as those loving arms are, sometimes that's not enough. And so we're safe in the arms of Jesus because He has strong arms. Some of the best Bible lessons are taught in these little children's songs, and I think of them. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. When you think of the strength to speak into creation, this universe, to have the power over life and death, to be able to face down Satan in the world with all that it has to throw at us, there's nothing that our God cannot do. The arms of Jesus nailed to a cross, can you think of the difficulty that was? Yesterday, it was supposed to rain and it didn't, so I had lots of yard work to do. Mr. Dan, those containers I've been fixing to go in the ground, I was ready to put everything in them yesterday. Had them cut, had them drilled, had everything ready. And I put them out in my backyard, and you know what my wife said? She said, "They're not level. Can't you dig that out?" I took all the... I don't spend a lot of days digging, people. And my arms are sore. In fact, by the time I got to the last one, I was just sitting on the ground and just kind of hacking away at the ground to try to get it level. The arms of God aren't out of shape. The arms of God are not weak. The arms of God don't fail because they have the power of man and not the power of God. The psalmist said in Psalm 27 and verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And sometimes we forget that. Sometimes our focus is not on that God is our strength, and we think, "This is what I've got to do." And it just is troublesome sometimes when we fail. But Isaiah said even the youth are going to fall. But if you want to soar like eagles, you have to go on the wings of the Lord. Psalm 46, the first couple of verses, "God is our refuge and strength, and a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea." I mentioned just a few moments ago that we've had several funerals in the last few weeks of people we love, brothers and sisters in Christ, faithful people. And you know, there's a hard reality to accept when death comes in. And I have the unique position as I'm speaking at funerals that I'm usually looking right at the family. And to see that heartbreak and to see those tears and to see those precious memories that ever flood the soul come in and people reliving them right before you. But you need to understand that our God is stronger than death. I know that because the grave couldn't hold Jesus. I know that because He said, you and I both can be resurrected in that day. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I know that because when the arms of Jesus were stretched on the cross, they carried the sins of the world, and that's a great deal of weight, isn't it? Have you ever struggled with your own sin and felt burdened by the weight of your own sin? Can you imagine the sins of the world? for every generation of all time that Jesus went to the cross. To borrow the words of the songwriter, He carried my sins with Him there. Sometimes I think we fail to call on God for His strength. We get somewhere misdirected. And then I'm reminded of Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 1. It's a familiar passage to you. In verse 12 he said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able, strong, able, to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. How many times in life have you come to where you believe you've gone the last step you can take? I used to, in my younger days, get up every morning and go run. I'd run 3 or 4 miles. I know I should do that again, but I can't find a wheelchair that'll go that fast. And, you know, I would sing, as I said, I don't know anything but hymns. And so there was some place, I'd get to a certain place on the road and I would start singing, when I get to the last mile of the way, my God is so strong that He'll take me to the last mile of the way. And to the church at Philippi, He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not only does He have His own strength, but He strengthens me. If you go to the gym almost anywhere now where people are working out, they'll have trainers in the gym. And they'll be telling you do this or do that and so many repetitions of whatever you need to be doing. Run and get your cardio and get your aerobic and anaerobic and all those kind of exercises that are going to do different things for you. But I want you to know that the best exercise you can do is to exercise yourself unto godliness. Because this body is going to deteriorate, it is going to get old, it is going to not dig as good or run as fast or work out as much. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When it comes to the trials of life, there's not a burden too heavy that He can't bear it and that I can't bear it with Him. But you know, sometimes we need more than just strength. And we're safe in the arms of Jesus because they are arms of compassion. Have you ever been to that place in your life where you just need to know that somebody cares? That things are hard and things are difficult and maybe you don't even want to explain to anybody what's going on, but you just need to know that somebody cares, somebody loves you, and Jesus does. And it makes Him different from all of the guys. I have a friend that talks about, every time he introduces me to somebody, he says, he's a preacher, he can call down those lightning bolts. He's kind of got the idea that God's just wanting to zap everybody and just throw some lightning bolts around. You know, I don't think I want to serve a God like that, but you look at the Greek mythological gods and you look at some other things and that's the way that they interact with human beings, but our God interacted by coming in the form of His Son, Jesus, and He was compassionate. Isaiah said in Isaiah 40 and verse 11 that He will lead His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs into His arms and carry them in His bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Can you see that pastoral imagery there? Picking up and holding that little lamb, the little baby, held to His bosom tight. Some of you have animals that you feel that way, dogs and cats, and you hold them. Our dogs, if either one of us are feeling bad, they're the most empathetic dogs that you'd ever want to find. They come and they lay down with us. And they'll start licking your face, which is not my idea of cure, but it's their compassion. Jesus was talking in Matthew chapter 9, and He saw the multitudes, and the Bible says He was moved with compassion. That means He cared about them with passion. He was changed, that is, He was moved. He cared about them with compassion when He saw the multitudes, because they were weary, and they were scattered like sheep having no shepherd. When Jesus looks at the world, He sees most people are lost, just wandering around. Have you looked at the condition of mankind lately and seen some of the horrific things that happen in this world that are done through whatever means and method, but people's lives are ruined? Jesus said when He looked out in His day and time that it was because they were like sheep without a shepherd. If you're looking for a leader, then you should look to the cross. If you're looking for someone who cares, you should look to the cross. It's amazing to me, and apparently we're starting the political season again for next year already. You know what the political pundits say that the politicians are supposed to show? Compassion for the middle class. Which is kind of an awkward group to choose. I don't know why you shouldn't show compassion for all people. But that's to get elected. We're going to pick out a demographic that we're going to say, Jesus cared for the very rich and the very poor, for the broken and for those who were whole. And when he looked out at people, and I wonder when you and I look out at people, do we have those same compassionate arms where Jesus reaches out to help because he cares and he wants to make a difference? Isaiah chapter 63, starting in verse 7, a little bit longer passage there. The prophet said, I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord has bestowed on us. And the great goodness towards the house of Israel, which he has bestowed on them according to his mercies, according to the multitude of his loving kindness. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not lie. So he became their Savior, and all their affliction he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. And he bore them and he carried them all the days of old. Look at the picture of the compassionate Savior filled with loving kindness. He said, I know there's going to be problems, but I'm going to carry them through. And he did all the days of old. But I cannot look at Jesus and being safe in the arms of Jesus without thinking about the saving power of the arms of Jesus. Yes, because of his strength, his compassion, and all the things that we've talked about, those are important, but the most important thing is he has arms that hung on a cross, that held little children, that showed compassion on the hurting and those who had lost loved ones. So much compassion that he died to save us from our sins. The psalmist said in Psalm 98, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arms have worked salvation for him. I want you to think about those arms affixed to the cross, because it was not the nails that held him there, it was your sin and mine. He could have called 10,000 angels, you know. He could have avoided the cross altogether, but he laid down his life of his own. And he allowed them to mock him and to try him. Isaiah 59 gives a great truth, and I don't know if you look at verse 1 a lot when we look at that particular passage. But it says, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save. Have you ever tried to get something that was just out of your reach? The other day we dropped a package of batteries back behind a cabinet. And because I'm the husband and husbands know how to do these things, Lynn said, you need to get the batteries out. And I reached there, and because of the tightness and all, I couldn't reach it. So I went and I got one of those grabber things, and that didn't work. And I went and I got the end of a pole and I got that, and finally I was able to get close enough that I wiggled it enough that it dropped far enough that I could get to it. But my arm was too short. When I think about how the length of the arms of God, this is for me, and maybe it doesn't make sense to you, but when he hung on that cross, I believe he had one arm towards earth and one towards heaven, and his arms are long enough and strong enough to bring heaven and earth together, and that's called salvation. Because he went to the cross. Isaiah 59 verses 15 and 16. So truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. The Lord saw it and it displeased him. And there was no justice. He saw that there was no man, and he wondered if there was no intercessor. Therefore his own arm brought salvation for him. And his own righteousness, it sustained him. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall rest. And the question for this morning is that where you are in your relationship with him? That you're leaning on the everlasting arms? That you believe in the power of God and the power of the cross? Are you outside of the reach of God because you won't reach to him? If I extend my hand to you and you don't extend it back, we're not ever going to connect. And Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross to give you salvation. This morning, if you're not a Christian, you can be before you leave this building. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, you can be added to the kingdom this morning if you'll repent of sins and confess His name. Wash away your sins in baptism, be raised to walk in newness of life, and God Himself will add you to the kingdom. If you'll live a faithful life, heaven can be your home, and if you've wandered away, you can come back. His arms are strong enough to hold you, whatever the case may be. We can help. Won't you come while we stand?